You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Taking his talents, according to The Athletic, Brooklyn's Kyrie Irving, who has a June 29th deadline on his nearly $37 million player option for the 2022-23 season, has said conversations about his future with the Nets gone stagnant, and an impasse currently exists among the parties that could clear the way for the seven-time All-Star to consider the open market. If this turns out to be the case with Kyrie, and it's not there yet, potential suitors, JJ, this is according to The Athletic. The Lakers, and I know you love their roster. The Clippers, some people say their roster is the best in the NBA. And the Knicks, who we all agree need more. Marcus Spears back here with us. I want to start with you, JJ. What do you think is the best situation for Kyrie Irving? And obviously, if he went to the Lakers, for people that don't know, he would be joining LeBron James again. Well, I just want to make sure everybody knows. I don't like to assume things.
I haven't had time to sort of dive into the logistics of how he either gets to the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Knicks. I actually think the best scenario for Kyrie Irving is to opt in, have a conversation with ownership, have a conversation with Sean Marks, have a conversation with Steve Nash, opt in, say I'm all in, let's go try to win a championship with this roster. I don't know how he gets the Clippers. I don't know the sort of salary structure to make that work, that the Nets then get something back.
The Clippers even need him.
I don't think they do, but you're not. I mean, again, it goes down to what we were talking about in the first hour is talent. I could envision a great scenario if he could end up on the Lakers. I also think for him to be the guy for the Knicks, if he can take them to the playoffs, he's probably a legend in New York City forever. It helps to sort of rewrite some of the narrative around him in New York City. Marcus, if you can win at any level with the Knicks, hey, you've done it. Hey, you've done it. I guess it comes, and I can't speak for Kyrie, but it comes down to what he wants right now. Does he want a max extension? Is that the most important thing? Does he want to play with Kevin Durant? Is that the most important thing? Does he want to go somewhere else? Like all these scenarios, ultimately he has to decide what he wants. I think the point and the sort of case we're seeing right now as it relates to the Brooklyn Nets is that Kyrie Irving probably at this point will have to compromise on something, whether that is his max extension or potentially opting in. Like, he's going to have some sort of compromise. Mm-hmm. If you are those other teams, again, Lakers, Clippers specifically, not necessarily the Knicks, because they'll probably do anything for Kyrie Irving. But those two teams, like, are you then willing to give him a max extension if that's part of any trade package?
Hold up 1 second. Marcus, hold up, because I do want to hear from you, but I need to get back to you. Let's assume what he wants is another championship.
Yeah.
So I want to focus this question anymore. So we're essentially picking teams. So I want to ask you this. So, like, as of now, which of those teams, and if you want to add another team in there that you think could be a possibility, would be the best shot? Would it be with LeBron in L.A. on the Lakers? Would it be staying with KD, hopefully a healthy Ben Simmons, with the Nets? Obviously, we know it's not the Knicks. And the Clippers could be in contention as well.
We could come up with any scenario where he goes to any team. I mean, obviously on the Clippers, like if he's paired with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that's probably a championship-level team. All those pieces sort of fit.
So
I know we talk about top-heavy rosters all the time, but those pieces sort of fit. And the Clippers have depth, and obviously they'd have to be willing to give up some of that depth to trade for Kyrie Irving. With the Lakers, he's back with LeBron James. That has a proven championship-level duo right there. They did it in 2016. They got back there in 17. They obviously got there in 15, and Kyrie got hurt and missed the finals. But, you know, I don't know how he ends up in those places. Like, are we doing a Russell Westbrook-Kyrie Irving swap? Is that what happens? The Clippers specifically, I think they'd have to have some sort of package around some of their contracts, like Luke Kennard and Morris and Covington. That would sort of, but is that enticing to the Nets? Like, I don't know how he ends up in those places. If Kevin Durant wants to stay in Brooklyn, period, right? Period.
Yeah.
Regardless of Kyrie, you're going to want to build a championship level team around Kevin Durant. He's at the point in his career where he's got, you know, hopefully 3, 4, 5 years of elite basketball left. It's not going to be a one-sided trade. The Nets are going to want something back that they can build on or they can win with.
Well, I'll just throw out this. Perk threw out Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving. That was a scenario he threw out yesterday. But, Swaggoo, I'll let you get in here.
The best situation for Kyrie, and I agree with JJ, you go through these scenarios, is to play. Play, bro. Like, because ultimately, throughout the course of a season, what you hope with Kyrie in Brooklyn is that him and KD builds rapport, Ben Simmons turns into what we think, a great defender, a guy that can facilitate and get those guys to rock in advantageous situations, even though they don't need it. All right, Joe Harris will come back, who will be healthy, the big wings. I've heard JJ talk about that. You got Claxton, who's a rim protector. Like, this team should be a championship. We all had them going to the finals. Like, majority of everybody with this roster that's currently constructed, obviously I know James was a part of that, we had this team going to the finals. When you think about Kyrie, the question is the best situation for Kyrie to win a title. Play in Brooklyn. Keyword, play. All right? Now, that has a lot to do with KD and how he determines to lead, because he's going to have to lead. We got to get, I don't know how KD is leading. I'm not saying he's not, but there needs to be another way. Like, barring, like, without COVID, obviously. That's a whole different scenario that he has no control over as far as what Kyrie wants to do. But I'm talking about when and if these guys get together on the floor, they need to, day one, start building rapport with a championship mentality, okay? These dudes have as much talent in their pinky as I ever had as a whole football player, comparatively speaking, when it comes to their ability to impact games. Kyrie Irving can impact games. Y'all, we just coming off of seeing Kyrie in the playoffs and him reminding everybody of why we even have these type of conversations. Play in Brooklyn. Keep KD. Hopefully Ben Simmons can come back and be healthy, and also the piece that they need as far as being able to defend the high-level player so KD doesn't get choked out by the end of the game with trying to defend and be the catalyst for all of the points that they score. This ain't hard. The Brooklyn Nets can win a championship if Kyrie plays and these guys build rapport throughout the season.
Marcus, I just have a quick question, because we talked a bunch about this in the first hour, the impasse that these you know, two parties are with, Kyrie and the Nets. In this scenario that I described, and I'm agreeing with you here, play in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. If he opts in, plays 70 to 75 games at the level we all know Kyrie would play at over the course of a season, they even make it to the conference finals. Not even a championship, conference finals.
Yeah.
Would you be comfortable at that point giving him a max contract? Because I would.
Yeah, for sure, with the commitment. But, JJ, that's what I'm saying. Like, basically, when me and you were talking about should he get the Supermax from Brooklyn, I'm 100% on board with you. We all know what the questions are surrounding Kyrie and playing and being available and being reliable. We all know that scenario. My point in saying that was, Brooklyn has already went beyond him having to be that, right? Like, they made that bed. This particular franchise made that bed.
They now capitulated. What you have they to capitulated.
Do, they capitulated. There you go. They go to word. Duke coming out now. But what they did was they set a precedent for Kyrie. Now, Kyrie has the, I believe, show in good faith. Hey, man, let's go get a chip. To your point, if it's the opt-in, if it's a Supermax contract, he is going to have to show his side of being available and reliable to the franchise and the organization.
But more importantly,
to KD.
So you're saying the best situation is the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
And JJ, you didn't really answer my question.
I said I said the same thing. I said the best situation is to opt
in. You said the Brooklyn Nets.
Give the commitment to Steve Nash and Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and go try to get a chip here.
Okay.
And play.
Okay.
100%.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before KD gets that great respect from all the old heads, he's going to have to win a championship as the guy, as the bus driver. Listen, he joined this, that team had already won a championship, so no disrespect, that's just a fact. The old guys like myself, hey, KD's an all-time hell of a player, but until he is the guy on a championship team, we're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves, and that's just the way it is. And like I say, the game hasn't changed. Kobe said it. LeBron said it. And so we're going to hold him to the same high standard.
Okay. Durant took issue with the Hall of Famer's comments, tweeting, "All this bleep is nasty. Another terrible analogy from a hating old head that can't accept that we're making more bread than him. It's just timing, Chucky. Don't hate the player." All right. Marcus Spears back here with us and J.J. Redick. So, J.J., the question is, does KD need to win another chip for his legacy? And I just want to define this a little more, right? Because he obviously doesn't need to win another chip. Right now, some people think he's the best player in the game, right? So to go down, I think, as one of the all-time greats, like when it's all said and done, do you think he needs another one?
Yeah, so I'll say what I said earlier in the show.
JJ.
I don't agree with what Chuck said, because I do think, although, as Legg so eloquently put it, the bus was registered in Steph Curry's name, Kevin Durant was driving that bus. I think right now, if I made a list of the best players of all time, and this is including championships, finals MVPs, MVPs, All-NBA, I made that list right now, I'd have 12 names on that list. And Kevin Durant would be on that list.
Okay.
Now, we can get into semantics about who's 5 through 8, who's 9 through 12, who's Mount Rushmore. We can talk about all that. That's a whole separate debate. The reality is I believe this, and I think a lot of people believe this, Kevin Durant is one of the 12 best basketball players of all time. The issue with Kevin Durant, as we talked about earlier, the narrative around him joining the Warriors, a team that had already won in 2015 and had come close, save for a Draymond Green suspension, to winning again in 16, and the fact that the Warriors had beat them in the conference finals after being down 3-1, for him to go join that team, there's some explicitives you can use, but some people viewed that as a soft move, a loser move, right? So I did not view it that way. Be very clear on that. Some people did. Now, that's not to say that he then went to the Warriors and he was the best player on that team. He was the best player in both those final series. I went through the numbers earlier, 35-8-5 in 17, 29-11, 7.5 in 18. His shooting splits were ridiculous. The efficiency off the charts. You remember in those series, Marcus, he, as good as Draymond Green was defensively, Kevin Durant was probably just as good defensively. Blocks, steals, rotations, individual deep. He was awesome on both sides of the basketball.
Yeah,
4 games and 5 games, right? He was phenomenal in both those series. To change the narrative, Molly, to answer the question, to change the narrative, he's got to win another championship, being the guy on a team that people don't view as a super team that he joined, right? He can win a chip on a super team that he put together.
Yeah.
But to change
that
narrative.
Not one that already won a ring without him in 2015.
To change the narrative, I don't think it changes his legacy. Because I already said, like, him winning a chip, I don't know what, if that shifts where he is in that top 12 of all time. Mm-hmm. But it changes the narrative around those two championships and those two finals MVPs that he had in 17 and 18.
Fuego?
I think you need it for his legacy. And I agree with some things that JJ said, but we just coming off of everybody talking about Steph needed an MVP in the finals to solidify something. And people gave validity and credence to that. I didn't. I thought Steph was great anyway. And just like you just said about KD, JJ, he's great. He's one of the greatest to ever touch a basketball. My high school coach used to tell me, some guys going to pick this basketball up and you're going to immediately be able to tell that they suck and they need to play football. And then there are some guys that's going to pick this ball up and you already know where their trajectory is. KD is one of those guys. I remember watching KD in summer leagues and when he went to the University of Texas, you knew at 6'11 with that skill that that was going to be a problem in the NBA regardless. We looking at Chet this year, tall, a lot of offensive prowess. Jabari, Smith, I'm talking about guys in the draft. Tall, a lot of prowess. KD was that. I watched Dirk when I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Not have much of an athletic bone in his body, but one of the greatest scorers I've ever had a chance to sit down and watch because he knew how to get his shot. What KD does, as far as off the dribble, we're not used to seeing 6'11 do that. We're not used to seeing it. You talked about his defense, defensively, being able to guard 1-4, the length and the range to be able to meet people at the top of the rim. We get all of that about KD basketball knowledge, acumen. We know he's one of the smartest guys that can break games down. I'm a fan of Kevin Durant in the way he plays the game, the way he's gotten better over his career. But, JJ, just like we talk about and I hear guys talk about all the time, the different rooms in the Hall of Fame. They talk about it in the NFL as well. The different type of conversations that we're having about a guy. That is the only part of KD's legacy that I feel like he needs to feel. The conversation will, regardless of how mad we get about it, how much we hate it because we know KD's greatness, the conversation will get to if his career ends without him, quote unquote, leading a team to a championship as being the guy that stuck from the bottom, got guys there, and they were able to go do it because of what his influence was, will always be a part of the conversation if he don't get it done. And is that bad? Maybe, but that's the standard we've held all the other ones to, that we consider to be on KD's level. We hold all of those guys to that standard. So I feel like it's more of, like, he could be mad, and I understand what he's saying to Chuck. By the way, Chuck makes some pretty damn good money, too, just to get that out there. But
the other part of that is, we all want Chuck money, Marcus. We all want Chuck money.
Listen, I ain't going to be mad to get Chuck money, JJ. But the bottom line is, man, is that when you get to the point of saying the bus driver, he took offense to that because obviously what you just said, KD felt like, look, man, did you see my splits and my numbers when we played in the finals? They absolutely needed me. They did. But they also won before you got there, and we just watched them win another one. So that whole argument about – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to a point you made at the beginning of that about it changing his like legacy to me involves all the things that you kind of talked about, and that's like, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yes. Is he one of the 10 or 12 greatest players ever?
Yep.
Yes. Has he won Finals MVP? Yes. Has he been MVP? Yes. Like, I don't know what another I know what another one does to the narrative, and that's different. And just a simple definition. I couldn't find a great one, but I like this one. What is a person's legacy? Mm-hmm. It's the richness of their individual life, including what that person accomplished and the impact on the people and places that they went. I don't know that him going another place changes that, or winning in another place changes that, Marcus. He went to Golden State, and he enriched Golden State. He made that place better. He made that place better. But let's be very clear on that.
JJ, bro, we obviously know that KD on any basketball team, let's just be honest, on any basketball team is going to elevate that basketball team. We wasn't talking about the Brooklyn Nets before KD went there. I don't remember nobody on TV leading with the Brooklyn Nets basketball before KD showed up there. We know that. We are not talking about tangible trophies. We ain't talking about stuff that's in his trophy case. To your point, we all know KD's greatness when it comes to playing the game and playing it at the level. But we also know there will be another underlying conversation. You can't run from that.
We gotta go.
I can't run from that.
Really,
and as much as KD might want to, he can't run from that.
Real quick, yes or no? Steph getting another one. Did that help his legacy? Did that change where you think he goes down in the history books?
To some people, yes.
But not to you?
No.
Okay, so then it's the same kind of thing for you with KD. I get it. Listen.
I try to be consistent, just, Molly.
He's different on that.
I try to be consistent.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone.
Because I also think Steph should have won the MVP in Finals MVP in 2015.
Great. Listen, like, it's great to be consistent. I try to be resilient and consistent.
But it's
in
a different conversation
well.
Now that he
well,
did.
You know,
it's a different combo now that he did.
I just want everyone at home to know that JJ would never have been the player he was, one of the greatest shooters ever, if he did not go against Marcus Spears, Swaggo, in AAU. And
shout out Boo Williams.
I will be getting pictures. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Time for a quick take. Let's get it. The 2022 NBA draft is 2 days away, and the Orlando Magic have the first overall pick, JJ. Who do you have going first Thursday night?
Well, there's a lot of really exciting players in this draft, but if I had to pick one guy, it would be Jabari Smith. 6'10", forward. He's got a handle. He can shoot three. Shot 42% as a freshman. He did all that at 18 years old. The kid just turned 19 years old. There's a lot of potential there. I'm excited to see him develop over the next 3 years. I think he's going to be a fantastic NBA player.
Paul Bancaro said you're dead to him. All right, the Warriors are feeling good after winning their fourth title in 8 seasons. Draymond especially feeling good after proving his critics wrong. Dre, talk to me.
I told y'all don't let us win a championship, and clearly nobody could stop it. I warned y'all, so I'm just going to continue to destroy people on Twitter, as I have been, and Instagram stories. I really love this group. I just want to say thank you all, and as always, everybody else. I love y'all.
I'm going to continue to destroy people on Twitter and Instagram stories, okay? Don't forget the stories. All right, Marcus, they only stay up for 24 hours, but really, everything lives forever. That's the scary part. All right, let's pick up the conversation we had earlier, because I found it super fascinating, this old media, new media, the whole concept. But you brought up a point, Marcus, kind of characterizing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but characterizing some of the players as maybe being too sensitive, right? Even maybe with how Kevin Durant responded to Charles Barkley as an example. If that's fair, I want to give JJ a chance to respond to that sentiment.
Well, I'm happy to hear what else Marcus has to say on that. I wanted to sort of bring up a point that I should have made in the first hour when I talked about the three different areas of media, right? We have traditional media, we have the aggregate media, we have social media where everybody's got a platform. We tend to, as athletes, we tend to lump all of those three components of media together now. Mm. And so when we sort of say, I don't like the media, well, what are you really saying? Because, like, I don't think any athletes like aggregate media. I don't think a lot of athletes like social media. Traditional media, like, I had a great relationship with all the beat writers, with all the columnists in every city I played with. I had a great relationship with all the national writers. Like, I had no issue. They wrote terrible stuff about the 76, when I was with the 76ers, some of those guys wrote terrible stuff about me. When I was with the Clippers, they wrote terrible stuff about our team. They were doing their job. They were doing, yeah, exactly. They were doing their job. I don't want to lump that together. There are certainly bad actors in traditional media. I'm not saying there's not. That's where I think some of the sensitivity comes. The other part of the sensitivity, you brought up a great point, which is all these conversations happening now on social media, that is what was happening in a barbershop. And so now players are privy to every conversation. A simple search of your name on Twitter, and you can see, we need to have a conversation about so-and-so. Click, read the replies. Mm-hmm. Not good for you. And so I think a lot of the sensitivity comes from those
That's
two things. It's the
point.
Lumping of the media together, mm-hmm. and then it's being privy to those barbershop conversations.
No doubt, JJ. And to your point, Molly, I'm glad you brought that back up. Because, like, sensitivity, everybody has a threshold, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has something when they, like, I'm not going to allow you to associate my name or attach my name with something that's a falsehood or just a flat-out lie. Or you could be wrong without any malice intent. You have to try to figure out how to decipher, because that is going to ultimately determine how you react to whatever is written or said about you. JJ, I don't have a problem with guys being sensitive when it comes to protecting whatever their identity, their name, image, and likeness, their reputation, their brand. My issue becomes when you're trying to mask it. Just say, look, bro, that made me, that either, if it didn't hurt you, it pissed you off, or it made me mad. And just say that. Say that, that made me mad. But stop, like, I see a lot of these guys and their responses. And I think for me, and what I've enjoyed about you being on television, dude, I respond how I respond on social media, how I'm gonna respond to your face. That's how I respond, if I'm going to respond to anybody. But I don't mask, like, oh, that didn't bother me, that didn't get to me. If somebody says something from an intellectual, all of the stupidity, the hate, all of that, that really don't affect me. It affects some people. I'm talking about me personally. But ultimately, some things, when people say something that has intellectual context, or if they say something that sparks a thought, or if they say something you vehemently disagree with, but not trying to be disrespectful, I think at times that's cause for a conversation. That's cause to reach out and tap in with somebody and say, if I don't have their number, that's cause to tap in with them and say, look, man, you said this publicly, we're gonna have this conversation.
But Mark,
I think a lot of times, though, these guys try to defend, like, they go against something bothering them, and they try to, new media, these dudes hate us, the old head. Bro, you just don't like what a person said.
Here's my one takeaway from that, and JJ, you can respond quickly and then go whichever direction you want to, because I know you want to respond to him. But when you start responding to these people and you start responding to these narratives and you start defending yourself, they're going to continue to pop up. You're a celebrity. And then is that productive at some point, right? So that's why, obviously, I'm not putting myself in the same conversation as any of these people. Superstars, they're celebrities. I am not. But I just feel like that's why I would never respond to anything, because I'm like, it's nonsense and it doesn't matter. And then it's distracting me from my focus and where I'm trying to go. It's not productive.
No, it's a valid point, Molly. And it goes back to what I said earlier about our generation, Marcus and I's generation of athlete, being the first generation where we can't escape it.
Yeah.
Because we have this and we have all the apps. And like, I like being on Instagram. I do. That's how I follow my friends. I like being on Twitter. That's how I get my news. It takes a lot of self-control sometimes. Sometimes it takes a couple glasses of wine to type in my name and see what people are saying. I would have to wait till after a game. I'm like, should I do it? Nope, shouldn't do it. You know, that's part of it. Like, we're all sensitive to a degree. But I think it goes back to this push against media is because of our generation not only having our own platforms, but because we can't escape it. The other thing I wanted to say about the bad actors, right, and in traditional media. I think part of this, too, if our athletic generation, we are the first generation where print media essentially died, and writers now are incentivized to clickbait. They're incentivized to write clickbait. And so a lot of these bad actors that I spoke of in traditional media, whether they like doing it or not, their editors are telling them to write certain things and take certain angles. and continue certain narratives to get clicks. That's what it's came down to.
I just have to say one thing really quick, Marcus, but I just want to say this. When you search JJ Redick, right, on Twitter, this is why I find that so unproductive, because consider the source. That's not reality, right? Right. As soon as you have an opinion, let me just say one thing. As soon as you have an opinion, I've learned this on TV, right? As somebody that's just teeing up the question. As soon as you have an opinion, somebody's not going to like what you have to say. So when people try to say, oh, Twitter's a measuring stick of what people think. No, it's a certain part of the population that's actually going to sit there and write negative things. That's why sometimes I feel like it's a cesspool.
It's like a Yelp, like a Yelp review.
Molly Q,
who's going on Yelp unless you have a very negative opinion to write on Yelp?
Exactly. And guess what? I don't have
In this conversation, let me try to help somebody.
Yeah.
Let me try to help somebody while we're having this conversation, because JJ he's absolutely right. Sometimes you look and you be like, damn, what? But ultimately, I tell my kids who are getting older and getting into social media, bro, like, and people that send vitriol my way, the reason why it legitimately doesn't bother me, and Molly, you and I have had this conversation a lot of times before in private. I ain't know you 5 seconds ago, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't know you existed 5 seconds ago before you sent this message. So for that to mess with my day from a person that I literally did not know existed on this planet, it says more about me than what they saying on social media.
Absolutely.
I know some people ain't gonna like
it,
but I get
you.
It. I understand
Marcus,
it.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why it doesn't bother me? Is because I went to Duke for 4 years and had people tell me to my face that I was the Antichrist.
Oh my!
That's why it doesn't. Anything you can say on Twitter? Anything you say on Twitter? I've already heard it. Trust me, to my face.
Listen, you guys just let me know when you want me to host the podcast special on this subject.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Right now, we're talking America's team. Mike McCarthy prepares for his third season as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys after a disappointing early playoff exit and Sean Payton leaving the Saints. Questions about McCarthy's future have been swirling. Jerry Jones addressed those questions saying the following, quote, Sean Payton shouldn't be out there. That's an injustice for him, the Cowboys, all of us. That's just sheer pulling it out of the air. It's well known we're good friends and well known what we think of him as a coach and all of those kinds of things. He shouldn't be a conversation piece. Mike has got an opportunity here to win a Super Bowl, and he's got an opportunity to win other Super Bowls. Did I read that right? Yeah, an opportunity here to win a Super Bowl, an opportunity to win another Super Bowl. That's really the measurement of it, not just for me. Okay, I had to reread that twice there because that didn't totally make sense to me, but maybe RG3 can break it down for me in big swaggo. Hi, guys. Excited to talk a little bit of football. And Robert, I'm going to start with you. We're not even going to focus on that quote unless you want to decipher it and you want to decipher it for me. But the question I want to ask you is, do you believe the Cowboys will be better or worse next season? And Stephen A. is watching.
Well, Molly, to Stephen A's demise, right, I think the Cowboys will be better this year. And last year, they were pretty good, right? They were 12-5. Offense finished first in yards and points per game. Dak set a new franchise record for touchdown passes in a season with 37. And then, of course, Dan Quinn came in and turned that defense that was, you know, league worst, gave up, I think, 473 points. And they led the league in turnovers last year with 34 turnovers and 26 interceptions. So the Cowboys have... For years now, they've always had ballers, shot callers, and the guys making a whole lot of dollars on their roster. They just have to win when it matters. And that's what Stephen A's calling card has been. He's made a living making fun of the Cowboys and making fun of Cowboys fans, because at the end of the day, the Cowboys always seem to find a way to come up short. But what they got to do is stay healthy. They got to fix their offensive line. They need to feature Zeke and Tony Pollard more. And then, of course, win when it matters in the playoffs.
Well, you went into why I think they'll be worse, and it's because I don't know what this O-line is going to be, RG. Like, when you look at this team, right, we've talked about how much talent the Cowboys have had for the last 7 years, okay? Some people had them as far as winning the Super Bowl. Some people had them going deep into the playoffs. And as much as I get killed by Stephen A. and everybody about the Cowboys, the one thing they can't say is I don't tell the truth about them. And the truth is, to your point, it's about what games they win now. We know the Cowboys gonna win some games. They got a really good quarterback. They got great guys at skill positions. They got defensive a young defensive player, Micah Parsons, who could be the best defensive player in the NFL this year based on what he showed us his rookie year. He may be in that conversation as being the best player next year from a defensive standpoint. I know who else is out there. That's a conversation for another day. Here's the issue, though, RG3. Connor Williams left and departed to Miami. We know Tyron Smith he's missed games every single year for the last 3 or 4 years. Terrence Steele is going to come in and be the right tackle, who has not shown us that he can protect the quarterback consistently over time. So I get it. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is going to be a phenomenal talent. I believe he's the number one wide receiver, and he was going to ascend to that anyway. But ultimately, when you talk about up front, and where we thought this team could actually win a Super Bowl was built through their offensive line. And that is the biggest question that they have going into the season. So I'm just not ready to say, listen, maybe I'm being a little bit harsh saying they'll be worse. Let me say not sure. Because when you don't know what your offensive line is going to be, and it may have interchangeable pieces, you of all people playing quarterback should know that it is very hard to determine how good you can actually be when you have so many unknowns up front.
No doubt about it, Swagoo, and you and I both know this because we know ball, that when you try to build a team, you build it in the trenches first. The problem with the Cowboys was last year, they had 7 different starting lineups up front due to injury. So even though the offensive line has always been like the strength of the team, All-Pro guard Zach Martin said at the end of the year they got smacked in the mouth and they got to be better. So they ended up not bringing back some of those guys, but they did draft Tyler Smith from Tulsa, who's a guy who's going to play inside at guard and can possibly kick out to tackle to take Tyron Smith's spot whenever his time is done. But you're 100% right. The offensive like line is an issue. And Molly, to try to interpret that quote for you.
Yes, please.
Essentially, Jerry Jones was saying that he loves Sean Payton and he likes Mike McCarthy. So at the end of the day, the Cowboys right now with Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, they are 6-9 against teams outside of the NFC East. And they haven't made it to the NFC Championship game since 1995. Now, I don't know about y'all. I was 5 years old then, and Dak was 2. Mike McCarthy's got to win games and not just one playoff game. They've got to go on a run and legitimately be in the Super Bowl hunt for him not to get replaced by Sean Payton.
All right, we got a bump, but thank you for translating that for me, and you really hit us with the bar right there. I love that. RG3, so good to see you. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Breaking news into First Take this afternoon regarding the Deshaun Watson situation. So we've just heard from the accuser's lawyer. That would be Tony Busby putting out the statement. I'm going to read part of it to you right now here. Today, I announced that all cases against Deshaun Watson, with the exception of 4, have settled. We're working through the paperwork and related to those settlements. Once we have done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of those settlements will remain confidential, and we won't comment further on the settlements of those cases. As stated, Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of this story. Her case has not settled, and thus her story and that of the other 3 brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligations and the court's schedule. Okay. Marcus Spears, your reaction to the latest here from Tony Busby, the accuser's lawyer, that most of the cases have settled here except those four.
Yeah, one is four cases left. That's my first reaction. The other one is, I wonder how much this plays into the decision that the NFL is going to make about whatever punishment it would be. Would this have any credence on them determining a time or a length that Deshaun Watson is out for the season? But ultimately, Molly Q, settlements, cases still left. It's still convoluted. It's still a lot of things that you have to work through. And I know that like throughout the course of this whole situation, you know, you try to determine victories, and there's no victories here. There's only losses. There's only losses in this particular situation. So as far as moving forward, as far as what's going to happen NFL league-wise, I can speak to that because I don't know the particulars of each and every case. I know it's a lot of them, and I know settlements mean that you reach some kind of agreement saying something happened that wasn't supposed to happen. I don't want to get into those particulars because I don't know them. But ultimately, the NFL needs to do something. They need to determine something, and this may be a part of their determining factor. So that's all I have for that. But the most important thing is it's still four cases that's
exactly
open.
So I'd like to say this would get them one step closer, but I'm uncertain. And in one of those cases, as we just described, Ashley Solis, she was one of the women that came on camera and detailed, and that's why Busby described her as one of the brave women coming on camera, showing her face and detailing what exactly had happened. Obviously, there'll be much more on this on SportsCenter, but that'll do it for us today. Marcus Spears, did you have fun? No, Stephen A., but you had me.
I had a blast, Molly Q. I had a blast. It's good seeing you.
And you had JJ, too.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.